Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. God's people had backslidden. They had turned away from God. God was about to send punishment to Israel. He was about to let the nation of Babylon come and take them into captivity for 7 years, 70 years. As often is the case when a country, an organization, a church, a business, or starts to go down, there's all sorts of wise men or learned men that of the day that come on the scene and try to expound why. And I'm sure in Israel's day there were learned men that were on the scene that came and tried to explain why their nation was sinking into sin and why God was going to bring this punishment. The philosophers came and said, well, here's our problem. Here's why God is bringing this punishment. The educators came and said, no, that's not the reason. Here's the reason why the punishment of God is coming. The priests, the religious leaders came and they had a cause. The politicians came and said here's what we need to do to fix the problem. The whole nation was going under. The whole nation was going into captivity. And the wise men and the learned men came and they gave the reasons, and I'm sure they gave fixes to the problem. But the thing of it is, nobody thought to ask God. Nobody turned to God who was bringing the punishment. Nobody turned to God and say, God, what do you think? What's your solution? What do we need to do? And in verse 10 of Jeremiah chapter 6, God is lamenting the fact that all these learned men had come, all these learned men had given their opinion about what needed to happen, why it was happening, and what people needed to do to fix it. And God was saying, well, you've listened to all these men, why don't you ask me? Why didn't somebody come to me and ask me what the problem is? Why didn't I've sent my prophets? I've sent my with my word. I've tried to tell you what the problem is. I've tried to tell you what the sin is, but nobody wants to listen to me. It said there in verse 10, he says, "The word of the Lord is unto them a reproach; they have no delight in it." The same thing goes on in our day. We have problems. We have problems in our country. We have problems in our individual lives. And we have all sorts of experts of the day that come on the scene and say, well, we can tell you what the problem is and we can tell you how to fix it. We have philosophers today that talk about how our morality is waning. And they say, hey, we can fix this problem. We have educators today that say, hey, we can tell you what the problem is. We have politicians today that say, well, here's the problem and here's what we need to do to fix it. How come nobody asked God? How come nobody asked the God, the omniscient God, the God that knows everything? How come nobody asked God? God has the answer. It's always amazing to me how experts are supposed to be experts, but they can't agree. When I first started going to the doctor, they said, all cholesterol is bad. And then after a few years, they said, oh, there is some good cholesterol. And what you need to do is make the bad cholesterol go down and the good cholesterol go up. You need the good cholesterol to go up and the bad cholesterol to go down. I asked my doctor one time, why don't you just stick a needle in my arm, draw out all my bad cholesterol, and pump me full of good cholesterol? He said, we can't do that. I said, why not? He said, well, we just haven't figured out how to do that. And all sorts of experts, but the problem is the experts can't agree. They all have a different solution. I mean, when the Republicans are in office, they say, here's what we're going to do. This will fix the problem. And the Democrats stand on the sideline and say, oh, no, that's not the problem and that's not the fix. And then the Democrats get elected and they said, here's the problem, here's the fix. And the Republicans sit on the sidelines and, oh, that's not the problem, that's not the fix. They can't agree. And as a result, nothing gets done. Why doesn't anybody ask God? Why doesn't anybody go to the God who made us, who created us, who knows us, and say, hey, God, what do you think? God says, I'll tell you if you ask me. I'll tell you if you listen. The problem is nobody wants to listen to God.
Got all sorts of church leaders today, all sorts of religious people today telling us how we can get right with God. Some people say that we need to work our way into heaven, that if we do a certain amount of good works, God will overlook our sin and take us home to heaven. Other people say, no, it's not works, it's joining the church. It's being a part of a religious organization that makes us right with God. Other people say, no, you got to get baptized. Other people say, no, you got to take communion. Other people say, no, you got to get confirmed. And all sorts of people have an idea how to get right with God. Why don't we just listen to God? Why don't we open the book of God and listen to what God says about salvation? In Acts chapter 16, somebody asked the question, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved from the penalty of sin? What must I do to get right with God? And God had a couple preachers in jail that night in Philippi, and they answered the question. Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God has given us the answer. We don't need to listen to any church people. We don't need to listen to any religious people. We don't need to listen to anybody that's got a different idea how to get right with God. We need to listen to God. He has the answer. He knows the answer. Let's listen to Him. We got a whole bunch of people today, and again, I'm preaching fast, so just listen fast. We got a whole bunch of people today trying to explain away sin, trying to tell us that what God says is sin is no longer sin. And they'll say abortion is a mother's choice. They'll say homosexuality is a lifestyle. Some people say that homosexuals are born that way. And I just want to stop. I want to say, did you ever see a rooster chasing a rooster? Did you ever see a bull chasing a bull? I don't mean to be mean tonight, but people are not born that way. People decide. People make a choice. People sin. Look, mankind can dress sin up. Mankind can call it by different names. Mankind can say it's a sickness. Mankind can say it's a result of the culture in which we live. Mankind can come up with all sorts of excuses, and they can try to change the definition of sin. Why don't we just listen to God? Why don't we just pay attention to what the Bible says? Why don't we just pay attention to what God says? Why don't we quit trying to change what God calls an abomination and just let it be an abomination and listen to what God says sin is? We have all sorts of people today. They're worried about guns. They're worried about crime. They all got a different answer about what to do. Well, I was reading in my Bible. Let me tell you what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 22, verse 2. If a thief be found breaking up and breaking up into your house and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. What that verse says, if somebody breaks into your house and you kill him, you are not going to pay the price of murder, because it's not murder. You're defending your home. Now, what that verse says to me, that if that thief be smitten, it means that you have the right to have something in your house to smite that thief. Might be a baseball bat. When I was married, I kept a baseball bat under the bed. Whenever I heard somebody breaking in, I'd elbow Debbie and I'd say, get the bat and go find out what's going on. I was a good husband. I weaponized her. You know what people say today? People say if somebody breaks into your house today and you hit them, they could sue you for assault. Because you don't know if they were breaking in to kill you or to just steal something. And if you kill them and they were breaking in to steal something and you kill them, the punishment outweighs the crime and you can be held accountable. So what do they want me to do? When somebody breaks into my house, I give them a questionnaire. Are you here to kill? Are you here to rape? Or are you here to just steal something? I tell you what, I'm not going to give them a questionnaire, and you shouldn't either. Kill them! Then you can ask their spouse why they were breaking in. Say, that's not very kind. Listen, we got all, and again, I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I'm just trying to say God has put in this book how he wants us to live. Rather than come up with all sorts of different ways to live, why don't we just live the way that God told us to live? Amen. Why don't we just listen to him? Why don't we just do what he says? You have a perfect right to defend your home. You have a perfect right to defend your family. If somebody breaks into your house, get your gun out, get your baseball bat out, get your pitchfork out, I don't care, and you defend the place that you live, and you defend your wife and your children. Notice what I said, you defend your wife and your kids. Don't give her the baseball bat. And so God was saying to his people, look, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to take you into captivity. And you got all these people coming to give you their opinion and to give you the reason why and to tell you what you need to do. Why don't you just listen to me? Why don't you just listen to what I'm trying to tell you? I've got the answer. I've got the solution. If you'll turn back to me, if you'll come back to me, if you'll put aside the false gods, if you'll stop worshiping the false gods and offering them offerings and baking them cakes and bowing down to them and turn back to me, I'll stop the punishment. I'll withdraw my hand of punishment. I'll start being, you start being my people again and I'll start being your God. And I will withdraw the punishment that's coming. And God warned them for hundreds of years. God warned and gave them warning after warning, sent prophet after prophet. They had plenty of time to come back to God. But they didn't. God said, okay, you won't listen to me. You've listened to everybody else. You've listened to their opinion, but you won't listen to me. The punishment is coming. And God's people went into captivity for 70 years. For 70 years. Now listen, I have other things, but I'm going to quit tonight. My point is this. And I was blessed by Brother Jeff's devotion on Thursday night at Senior Saints. I was blessed by the singing. I was blessed by the Bible study. He talked about this book. He talked about how we need to go to it early. He does, and you've heard me say this before, you need to go to it your best time of day. For some of you, that's early in the morning. For some of you, you got to have your coffee and get resurrected before you're awake. And you need to, but so whatever your best time of day is, that's when you need to get into this book. This book is our owner's manual. This book tells us how life is supposed to work. This book tells us how to have a good marriage. This book tells us how to raise our kids. This book tells us how to live for God. This book tells us how to receive the blessings of God. I have a library. It's upstairs in my office up over here in the church. I have a lot of self-help books. I have books in there about how to be a good husband. I have books in there about how to be a good dad. I have books in there. I even got a book on how to be a good grandpa up there. All written, most of them, by good men. All have some good ideas. But one day, I found myself reading those books more than this book. I said, ain't right. This is the book I need to spend most of my time in. And this is the book I spend. In fact, I haven't read one of those books. I haven't taken a... And again, I'm not discouraging you from using the library. And Carol, I was blessed by what you read out of the book that you got out of the library. Thank you for doing that tonight. But this is the book. This is the book. This is the book that we need to stay in. Let's listen to God. Let's listen to God. He's got the answer. And there's no disagreement in this book. What it says in the book of Genesis is confirmed in the book of Revelation. It's consistent
all the way through. Let's listen to God. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the time that we've spent in your house. We felt your presence tonight. Felt your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us tonight. Thank you for reminding us in the testimonies and in Brother Gary's song what we have in our Savior. And I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, Father, I pray tonight that you'll help them see right now their sin, the penalty for that sin, what they face for eternity if they don't receive Christ. And I pray tonight that they would decide to make Jesus theirs, to ask him to be their Savior. Most of us tonight are Christians. Thank you for what we have in Christ. As some of us reminded us in their testimonies, help us to be thankful for what we have. Help us to never take for granted the blessings that you bestow so wonderfully on your people. And I pray, Father, that not only would we be grateful, but as we were reminded from some other people, that we would take the gospel and we would tell people that need Christ how to be saved. So bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. If somebody's here that needs to do something for you, make a public decision. I pray they'd make it tonight. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.